Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another Norm at Night. We're here in Cal Harbin, Virginia. I'm really excited tonight. Coming off that big show last week, so I hope I'm going to have a lot of callers. I love to start the show with a lot of bad habits. Great, great song. I got my coffee cooking in the other room. I'm just having a good old time here, as I said on all the pre-show stuff. We're going to talk about Professor Henry Gates and what happened to him in his home in Harvard Square. I'm not going to have any opinions on this. Well, that's not really true. I got an opinion on everything, and I'm sure I'll have an opinion on this. But what's your opinion on this? Did the police officer arrest Mr. Gates because he was a black man and the policeman was a white man? Is that why he arrested him? What was going through that policeman's mind when he walked into that scene? I don't know, but you can reach me at 347-945-6713. While I go turn on my coffee, why don't we listen to a little Irish coffee? I'll be right back. And I'm back. I guess I should have made that cup of coffee before the show started, but I didn't. I got five lines open. I want to hear what you have to say. 347-945-6713. Go to blogtalkradio.com/normatnight, and you can just click on the click to talk. You can also come to the Norm at Night chat room, which you can get to off the block at the Block Talk Radio site. Man, that coffee's hot. Ooh, I burned my tongue on it. Hey, I got a guest here on the radio talk site. Go ahead, guest. I'll relay what you have to say. What do you think about what happened in Cambridge on Harvard Square? Or if you don't want to talk about that, what do you think about what happened anywhere? I got five lines open here, 347-945-6713. I got one guest in the chat room. I wonder what Henry Gates is doing tonight. You know, it's pretty clear Henry Gates makes six figures. Six figures. You think if the cop had arrested Henry Kissinger, we'd be hearing about it like we are now? You think Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon would be having a beer with a cop in the White House? That would have been something to see. I'm not sure Richard Nixon drank beer. He sure could curse like a sailor, though. So anyway, let me go check in the chat room. 347-945-6713. You know, I'm finally starting to get a hang of this. Wow, gosh, I guess I scared the guest away. The guest is gone. Oh, I'm just so confused here. Ah, there we go. Now I'm back here. Tough dates today. Well, we're waiting for some people to chime in on Mr. Gates. Let me just say, when I was growing up, my father always said to me, you're never going to win with a cop, so don't fight him. Just nod your head and generally you'll come out all right unless you've done something wrong. And, you know, that pretty much really affected my life. But, you know, who knows? Maybe Gates had had enough. He just viewed this cop, you know, coming to arrest him for breaking into his own house. I wonder what Mr. Gates would have been saying if somebody had broken into his house, said, I'm Henry Gates, I live here, and the cop had just left. I wonder what Mr. Gates would be saying about that. I wish Mr. Gates would call in so I could ask him. But I would like any one of you to call in. That's 347-945-6713. I'm feeling real lonely here tonight, 8 minutes in, and I don't have a call. You know, rumor has it that I may get a couple of callers tonight from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Somebody I know, maybe a cousin or two of mine, that'd be kind of nice. But, and remember, we never, the only name we use here on the Norm and Knight Show is Norm. I'm hoping I'm going to hear from a good friend of mine who lives actually in the general vicinity of Harvard Square, actually out on the Cape. My friend Dee, I'm hoping that he'll call in. He's got some real interesting experiences to relate from the, from the Gates side of the story, being a, is now the proper thing to say, a person of color. I hope we hear from Dee tonight. I also would like to hear from somebody behind the badge, if you're out there. What's it like walking into a house like that on a call like that? What kinds of things are going through your mind? How much is a policeman supposed to take before he just turns around and leaves? Should that officer, he was a sergeant actually, have just turned around and left? Who knows? I don't know the answer. We've got to come to the answer together. So why don't you give me a call? 347-945-6713. After the way last week went, I mean, the phone was ringing off the hook about health care. That's still a move. If, hey, if you don't want to talk about Gates, you got something else you want to talk about. Just give Norm a call, 347-945-6713. That's the number here. You know, in my profile it says, I've been doing what I've been doing for 30 years. This is actually the 30th year, but it's not broadcasting live, though I know I sound good enough that you think I've been doing this for 30 years. No, seriously, what I've been doing for 30 years is teaching school. And I really like teaching school. But I got five lines open, 347-945-6713. We're 11 minutes in, not a peep. Let's see who's in on the chat room. Hey, I got Mark Hughes. Go, Mark. I said no names. Okay, well, I'll just cancel that. Oh, I got a policeman friend of mine coming in also. What's it like when you answer a call like that? He's in my guest room, not live on the radio. So hopefully I can relate some of the ideas to you. I'm not sure if I have much use for what happened to Henry Yates. I don't think he had to be gnashed into the police officer. And the police officer was simply responding to a call. The police officer didn't see Yates going into the house and then followed him in. The police officer received the call in his patrol car, I assume, and responded to the call. Yates could have been anybody. Actually, you know, I said I've been teaching school for 30 years. I will never, ever forget one day. I don't know what I did wrong, but I had some kind of problem with the alarm system at the school I worked at. And while I'm fumbling around with it, I mean, obviously I had set off the alarms, actually, probably without even realizing it. And sure enough, it went to the right to the police station. Oh, I got a call coming in here. Go ahead, 202. You're on with Norm. 202, you're on. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Oh, I lost 202. Do I have this thing turned on right? I think so. Oh, 202. Give me a call back. I don't know what exactly I did wrong. Maybe I muted myself without even realizing it. 347-945-6713 is the number. I am very baffled here what I did. Hey, I got a guy named, I got a call from my friend Colt. He says, it's a lousy topic tonight. What are you thinking of? Hey, by the way, Colt, can you hear me? Why don't you just call in? Oh, I got a cop. He says, every call is different, but a burglary in process, and I mean, that's the call that the police officer probably was responding to. You got to be all nervous when you get there, and you're not sure what to expect. And I don't know, what do we expect policemen to put up with? You guys here in my chat room, can you let me know? Can you hear me? Are you getting the audio over the computer? Because I had a call come in. I heard the call, but the call didn't quite hear me. And I just hope I'm coming over the I hope I'm coming over the radio. 202, go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, Donna. I mean, hello, 202. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you? Oh, good. So what do you have to say? I had an offline call, a real interesting thing that the police officer very well may have been a bit on edge because he was probably responding to a burglary in process call. From what the 911 issue or call, that's how they would have a possible burglary in process.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's my feeling about it in many ways also. And I had a conversation with a good friend of mine this afternoon, and it was the whole idea of it just escalated beyond anyone's control. Maybe
yeah, I
there
would
was
agree
some,
with that.
And it escalated quickly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think race is always a problem that escalates things, and lots of people are tense about it, and everybody has their own history of experience, and so that can kind of play into things too, you know?
Oh, absolutely, and I mean, that's a very good point you make, caller, because in fact, the lady, the committee voted actually to approve her nomination today. That's what the speech she made, that everybody's history comes into everything they do. And depending on your history, you may be in a better decision to, or in a better position to make certain decisions.
Yep. That's really true. We all have our own, you know, our own experiences that we either are sensitive about or, you know, makes us hit those buttons that we then go to anger and frustration, and then you're not thinking rationally anymore. You're just trying to make sure you come out on top.
Yeah, that's another, it's well stated, and we all want to, when it's said and done, we all want to come out on top.
Yep. I think that's why it's a good thing they're going to the White House. But I don't think the White House can solve every problem. I mean, if that man, that professor at Harvard, were not famous, evidently, if he wasn't famous, I don't think they'd be going to the White House, and then you'd still have a big mess on your hands. So we got to learn how to solve these issues ourselves and not rely on famous people or influence of power to resolve what seems to be a human interaction that we should be able to settle by talking.
So how do we do it?
Well, I think that's
I
for everybody to figure out, and I think we need to have a few skills that we learn how to deal with situations like this. I mean, when you get into a marriage problem, you go to a counselor or a therapist. They give you advice on how to approach it. Seems to me we do a lot of talking about race, but we don't talk about how to solve it. And we don't talk about what are some methods that would help people figure out what do you do. Because when you're in the situation, you can't try and figure it out then. You got to be thinking about it ahead of time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, actually, I got another thought here from a police officer who's calling in, and he says when he walks into a scene or walks into a call, until he figures out what's going on, the scene belongs to him. And he says it doesn't really, if somebody gets nasty with him, they have the potential to go to jail, especially if they're not cooperating to help me find out what's going on. Now, I have no idea what went on in that room. Hopefully they'll talk it out over the beer with whoever they're having.
Well, I don't know. I just think that the president can't solve all these problems, and he shouldn't have to. I think we have to grow up, all of us, black, white, Chinese, Hungarian, Polish, anybody who's got differences, we need to be more sensitive to what each other has experienced. White people, too, need to be given the same respect and the same regard. Maybe they feel defensive about what's happened in the past. So you can't assume that everybody's on the same wavelength. You have to try and figure out how you can be more patient, more tactful at least. You know what I'm saying?
I think I do. And we've just, I don't know, hopefully, we've only been 6 months into a place where we're trying to stop fighting with each other. Really interesting. I just happened to catch on the radio a speech that Senator Lindsey Graham made during the committee vote today on Judge Sotomayor. And it was an extraordinary speech, and he was the last person I would have bet on to make that speech. But the gist of it was I wouldn't have picked her to be a Supreme Court justice, but she is eminently qualified to be one. And so I am going to vote for her. And anyway.
What does that mean? He wouldn't have picked her. Because why?
In other words, if I was the president of the United States, I would not have selected her to be the Supreme Court Justice for a lot of different reasons. Elections do have consequences, however. And she is eminently qualified to be a judge and has given every indication that she will use the law to make her decisions. And so I'm going to vote yes. And I thought that it was just, to me, it was startling, especially for that man to have made that speech. I mean, I was stunned. Oh, wait a minute. I got another call coming in here. Go ahead, 727. You're on with Norm.
Hello.
Hello, 727, you're on.
Would you consider yourself a Democrat or Republican?
Would I consider myself a Democrat or a Republican? Well, I've been a Democrat for my whole life.
Okay.
I have voted for a couple of Republicans in my life, but I am a Democrat.
Are you or are you not in support of Obama?
Oh, I absolutely voted for Barack Obama. I would vote for him if the election was tomorrow. He disappointed me in many ways, but I absolutely support the President of the United States. Where are we going with this, caller?
I personally would consider myself a conservative Republican. But for many reasons, I did vote for Clinton.
I can think of a lot of reasons to vote for Billy Boy.
But I did not agree with Billy Boy, you know, getting it, you know, in the Oval Office. You know, everybody knows that happened. Just because he walked into the Senate, he told the Senate off. You know, everybody knows that, you know, he got his, you know, Fauci sucked in the Oval Office.
Okay. I guess that call is gone, Culp. Culp the laser, right. Are you there? You like that, huh?
Yeah, I'm here.
Stay with us, 202. Stay with us, 202.
I didn't know it was going there, but here we are.
Oh, man. That was kind of cool. I have no. Anybody know where area code 72? I shouldn't do that. But you can bet I'm going to look that area code up. We're having a great old.
We went on to Bill Clinton's knob job. That's a stretch.
Easy, easy. Let's keep this a family show. Yeah, I know. Knob job.
Hey, most of your kids will have to look that up.
Anyway, I got great news today, everybody.
Yeah.
I got an email from a little kid he's actually not in Milwaukee, Wisconsin right now, but he lives there. And that he's actually listened to the show a couple of times and that he was going to try and call in some night. He's 13 years old. I got a big kick out of that.
Oh, that's nice. That's sweet.
It is.
That's
the show
nice.
The show is spreading. I'm still hoping I get a call from the Massachusetts area, but we'll see.
I'm gonna go and come on back a little bit later.
All right,
I'll talk to you in a little bit.
Okay, we're on till 10.
All right.
Thank you for calling, 202.
All right. Thank you for being there.
All right. Come on back. All right. Hey, Colt, it's you and me again. Hey, everybody out there, 347-945-6713. Oh, gosh. Yeah, maybe I did pick a bad topic tonight. Who cares?
Well, you know, it's been beat to death for like 2 weeks, so, you know. And I'm sure Obama regrets even bringing it up, but here we are, you know.
Right, I was reading, I don't know if anybody has ever heard of something called ZCOM, but I was just doing some Google searches on Henry Gates, and I got another call coming in here. Hold on. Go ahead, 205. You're on with Norm.
Hey, Norm.
Hey, how are you? I recognize that voice. How did the weather turn out today?
It was pretty good until it started storming.
Bad storms?
Yeah, they're rolling through right now, but most of the day was pretty good.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for calling. It's great to hear your voice. How's the general vacation going?
Pretty good.
A break from answering burglary calls.
Right.
Oh, man, I don't know how you guys do it. I'll be perfectly honest. And I know that I would have a great deal of difficulty. One of two things would happen. I would either lose my temper excessively or I would be dead. because I just believe everybody. Well, I do. So, how's the business? Oh, wait, I got another call coming in from, hold on a minute. Go ahead, 202-456. You're on with Norm. 202,
hello.
You're on with, hey, you're on
hello.
With Norm.
Hello, is this Norm?
This is Norm. I got a feeling I know who this is. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually calling from the White House press office.
You're calling from the White House what?
Press office.
Press.
Oh,
calling
man.
Up from the White House press office.
You're calling from the White House press office.
You can look
and
up the number.
I believe you. Why would I doubt that?
Well, because a lot of people doubt when I call from the White House.
And why are you calling Norm at night? Are you, hey.
Norm, I just wanted to congratulate you on the work you're doing.
Well, thanks very much. Since you're at the White House in the press room, can you tell me what kind of beer they're going to be drinking?
We do not know yet.
Well, I say.
We do not know yet.
Okay, well. That's in committee?
Yep.
I say, in honor of my old friend Timmy Russert, they have a rolling rock.
I think in respect to the great state of Massachusetts, Samuel Adams.
Oh, a Sammy.
We'll put a good note in for that. We'll put a good note in for Samuel Adams.
Sam Adams, you know, a great revolutionary. A great revolutionary. You know what would be really cool? They could actually, they shouldn't do it at the White House. They should have a Sam Adams in the Green Dragon Tavern in Boston. It's right down there in the Italian section. I forget what part of Boston the Italians live in. The North End. Because that's where Sammy Adams' gangs were.
Yeah.
The press.
Irish are in the South, yeah.
Right. I don't know why it seems the Irish are in the south side of most cities. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, certainly.
South side of Boston, south side of Buffalo, south side of New York.
They're attracted
I don't know
to
that.
The warmth. I don't know. I don't know.
You know, it was kind of interesting.
All the breweries were there. Oh, go ahead.
No. Hey, anybody out there wants to join in on this conversation? We've got three lines open at 347-945-6713. Actually, you know, I was looking for something to write with, and this may be a little hokey, but I found these things, and they're in my handwriting, and so I think this was an old, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh, this, you know what this is? I found an old retreat notebook. Oh, my Lord. And these people wrote all kinds of nice things about me.
A lot of alcohol involved, huh?
Yeah, well, anyway, none of us know ourselves. Hey, now, come on. You've been drinking there tonight, Colt?
Oh, I've got my first second one. I can't.
Oh, do you know, 205, you'll remember good old Doc Shermer.
Yep.
Well, he took me out on my, well, he thought it was my birthday. It was 2 months early. But, you know, what can you do? But he took me to this German restaurant, and the beer came in liter mugs. I never really drunk out of a liter mug before. The thing is giant. You know, and before we left, I had three of them, and we had to go someplace for 2 hours so that I'd just sit there so I could drive home. It was horrible. Oh, yeah, no, I mean, he kept drinking. I drank Cokes for 2 hours. Oh, does that make you pee?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's no rum in it, what's the point?
No, well, no. It's a long way from Connecticut Avenue to Bowie, Maryland.
Yeah, I imagine.
And, you know, the last thing I need to do is my wife would probably leave me in the jail.
No, they're going to keep you. They'll keep you for, like, 8 hours, I think?
I don't know. I don't care.
If you get caught, they keep you.
I'm not gonna get caught driving drunk, because I'm just not going to do it.
Well, yeah, down here, we keep you until you blow all zeros on the intoxicant.
Really?
Oh,
.02. Yeah, it could be.
What's the legal limit? Is the legal limit the same in every state?
I don't think so. Down here, it's .08.
Yeah, .08 is pretty becoming the standard. It used to be the .1.
Right.
And that's all come down now.
Is that the feds cracking down? I mean, saying, okay, you got to do this, or we're not giving you highway money?
Possibly.
Horrible.
I don't think so. The only thing the feds did was to insist that the drinking age be raised to 21. And they tied highway funds to that. So you either did it or you lost.
And they tied it to the 55 mile an hour speed limit too.
And they did that as well. Yes, yes, they did.
And so I wouldn't doubt that they tied it to the blow limit.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think that's still optional, but
I'm sick of the feds being
generally. I mean, .08. Come on, people. I mean, the difference between .08 and .1 is like, come on,
one beer.
What is it? One beer?
Well, the thing about it, you drink a beer, let's say all that alcohol hits your system immediately, you're a .1. I mean, there you are. You are legally drunk on the first beer.
Oh, you are not. Is that true?
Most beer takes, the way we were trained, one beer equals .02. So for four beers, it'll take four beers to equal.
Does it take it to go away?
It takes an hour for 0.02% to get out of your system.
So if I drank, I waited 2 hours, so I probably, by the time I got home, I was all right.
Yeah, so it's going to take 5 hours for one beer to get out. Now, if you're at happy hour, you're going to have one beer.
Well, I had 3-liter mugs. I mean, we're not talking a pint. I'm talking I had 3-liter mugs. And these mugs were so big, I had to use two hands to pick it up. And they were those cut glass German mugs. It was a pretty nice restaurant right up from St. Albans on Wisconsin Avenue. Old Europe, I think, was the name of it. Oh, I got a call coming in. Hold on. Go ahead, 508.
Yes, Norman.
Hey, Big D, how are you?
Pretty good.
Glad to hear you called in, and We got a caller here, everybody, from, let's just say, in the Cape Cod area. And we'd like your perspective, actually. We, among ourselves, have talked the Gates thing pretty much to death. But have you had any experiences like he had?
I myself, no. I'm not really surprised because...
Okay, hold on. Hold on 1 second. I got to bring somebody else in.
Sure.
Go ahead, 202. I just got a 508 call, so we're all on here together. Go ahead, 508.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in and listen. I already said my piece, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, 508. Say what you were going to say. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, no problem. I'm just saying that I'm really not surprised. It's, that's part of growing up in America and being black.
Okay.
Has that ever happened to you?
Not me personally. It's never happened to me.
Well, that's all I can think of. I thought about this today, and you tell me if I'm wrong. I guess my father always used to tell me can everybody hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, because I lost my switchboard, so I got some. I'm sorry, I used that word that I'm not supposed to use.
Happened.
Yeah. Well, actually, thank God I had the page open twice. I'm back here. But anyway, Dad used to say that you work in a steel mill and you go take a shower and you put your clothes on and then you put your clean clothes. It was easy for us to be who we were because, to be perfectly honest, it's hard to tell an Anglo from an Italian once you're clean, but a black man can never wash his skin off. Not that he should want to. But the point being that, Skip Gates, the fact of the matter is, he makes in the high six figures. It's not a poor house that he was living in. And he actually said a really interesting thing on a program. It's something that the real thing we have to, a lot of it, it's tied not so much to, or shouldn't be, and unfortunately it is, it's tied to race instead of class. And,
I'll tell you, and also it depends, the area you live in, too, because if it's, if you're not living in an area that people are used to seeing black people.
It's interesting that you say that because it's really, I live in Prince George's County, Maryland.
Right.
And Prince George's County is a really interesting place because the general population divisions are skewered, where the economic status of the county is really still pretty high. And so when my relatives come, it's really very difficult. They come from a place where, to be blunt, they don't see very many black people. And then you come to Prince George's County, and 7 of every 10 people are African American.
Uh-huh.
And it takes some getting used to. And
I'm sure it's scared half to death.
Well, I don't know if scared is the right word, but there's some discomfort involved when
yeah.
you first experience it. But I'm trying to remember that lady's name. Barbara. From the, not the Black Student Union, the Black Student Fund in D.C., Barbara Patterson.
Oh.
And I was doing a seminar with her one time. And she couldn't understand that I lived in Prince George's County. And so there were all these things I was supposed to do. And I said, I do those things every day because of where I live. And so often we talk past each other.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and I just, well, I don't know. Well, I've got 12 minutes. I got 12 minutes remaining. I think
the only thing I want to say is you said how your relatives come there and they feel some discomfort because 7 out of 10 are a different ethnic background. Well, that's how most black people or African Americans feel when they're in a predominantly white environment. There's some discomfort.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I understand from, I understand that in ways that I don't think, and I think all the Anglo-Americans who live in, or Euro-Americans, let's call them Euro, it's not ethnicity, and I really think we need to stop pretending about that. Because ethnicity is, do I feel funny living in a Polish neighborhood? Because I'm Italian.
Yeah.
And it's much deeper than that. There's one thing that I just wanted to talk about tonight that I just thought was brilliant on Henry Gates's part. He was talking about teaching and making teaching relevant to the people that you're talking about. And so he was talking about going into a school in a inner city school with predominantly African American population. And he said, so you want to teach kids about DNA and the double helix. Now, everybody thinks you bring Watson and Crick's book in, you know, and everybody will jump and love it. Well, that just isn't going to happen. Most, you know, however, if you walk into a classroom and you pass out Q-tips and tell each kid to take a swab of their cheek, gather up those swabs, send them out to a DNA lab somewhere, and let, and then when they come back, let those kids know what part of the African continent they came from. Suddenly you've created an interest in DNA, and so people want to know about it, how it works. And I just thought that was an incredible thing. I remember, because it really hit home, at some place in Massachusetts, there's this little group of Italian people who came from this section of Italy where they have almost no incidence of heart attacks or arterial disease. I happen to really identify with it because my grandfather came from pretty close to that same place. And the real interesting thing is my blood pressure is such that the doctor sometimes does it twice just to make sure his machine isn't broken. And
really?
That's a good thing. Yeah, yeah. I guess my last blood pressure, it was 110 over 60. You know, he asked me if I was alive. You know, and I said, yeah, I'm alive, Doc. And then he says to me, well, you know, Norm, you're healthy and you're fat. You want to stay healthy, you can't stay fat. But, you know, I've been a fat left-hander since birth. And, you know, some days I'm a real socialist lefty. Other days I'm a libertarian wacko. I don't know. You know, some days I want to burn baby burn. The next day I'm going to some big fancy reunion at big fancy school. Not reunion, but celebration at some big fancy school in the District of Columbia. But that's Norm. I don't know what else I can say about it. In fact, I'm kind of looking forward to that. I really am looking forward to that.
That's only natural, I think, especially, you know, living in the United States, what is supposed to be the melting pot, you know.
Yeah, you know what? I always think of that, Steve, when I think of the Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
He was not, you know, he didn't, your money's got to get old before you fit in.
Oh,
hey,
yeah, yeah.
That's just reminding me, everybody, if you haven't, I don't know if you say outlier or outlier, Malcolm Gladwell's new book, Outliers. It's stunning. I'm not sure yet. I'm still digesting it, but there's some stunning ideas in it, and it's definitely worth a read if you find it anywhere. I just think it's great stuff. But this has been another great night on the Norm at Night Show. We've got about 6 minutes left, and it's open season, folks. What do you want to talk about?
Okay. this weekend I watched a film, you may have seen it, Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood.
Oh my God, have I seen it. A magnificent movie.
Yeah,
I love
know, I mean, being a film critic as I am, you know, obviously I could find some mistakes. I thought the racial epithets were a little over the top, and
nope.
I would have picked a lot better music, but I think, you know, it, like a lot of things, you know, I think it touched a chord with me, and I obviously it did the same thing.
Well, that's
because
you're from the big, well, absolutely, because we're from the big B.
And the thing that, you know, was there was, you know, the decline of the working man and the values that were there and obviously aren't there anymore. And the other that really struck me was the neighborhood, that the neighborhood was gone. And for us, you know, Delavitt and Bailey was It was supposed to be there. It was supposed to be there forever, you know?
You know, hey, and for all and you it, other yeah. callers here, just so you know, the cult and I go way back to almost teenage days in good old Buffalo.
But, you know, nothing lasts forever.
No, but Gran Torino, I know, but you think it's you know, you're absolutely right, because everybody says, would you like to go back to Buffalo? Yeah, I'd love to go back to the Buffalo I grew up in, but it's not there.
Not there anymore,
It's not there.
You know, but you know, I can go to Germany and see the same people living in the same house for hundreds of years.
Oh, yes, yeah.
You see the difference.
But isn't there something about America that kind of we're all about change? I mean, we don't keep anything for very long, and I mean, there's a bad side to that. I agree with you about the neighborhood, because I think, frankly, if people had known people in the neighborhood where Skip Gates was, they probably wouldn't have called the police. So I think we need to know our neighbors, you know. But
that's absolutely true. And obviously his neighbor didn't know him, and he didn't know his neighbor.
Right.
And that's really unfortunate.
And there's something really that allows kids to be kids when you got a neighborhood. You feel like people are part of a larger extended family. I feel a lot of kids just feel homeless in a way that makes them not connect with other people. And I think there's something to what the call is saying about the loss of the neighborhood. But I think there's something about America that just wants to keep change going all the time.
Well, you know, the last 75 years have been a real interesting time in human history, because until quite recently, most people never went more than 50 miles from home.
That's true, yeah.
You know, and...
But how do you reconcile that with this comment about Germany? I mean, there's places in Europe that haven't changed for hundreds of years. He's right about that.
But the people, I don't know.
They build their houses to last, for one thing.
Oh, well, but, yeah, the rich people do, and the poor people all come to America. The draft dodgers all come to America. And... you know, I don't want to upset anybody, but the first slaves brought to America were Slavs. Mr. Gates has a lot of interesting his books. Mm. I have tried.
But they weren't slaves, but they were indentured servants, right?
No, they weren't. They were slaves.
Well, an indentured servant was pretty close.
And there weren't many of them, and they didn't bring a lot of them. And the reason was, quite bluntly, it was easier to bring Africans. Right. And Mr. Gates points out...
I'll tell you, by the time
12 million.
By the time of the war between the states, the Swabs, they made up a large part of the Union Army.
Oh, there's no question. But the amazing thing was that I just found that to be stunning. I didn't realize it was anywhere near 12 million people who were put on boats and dragged over here to the New World. Only about 450,000 came to North America. The what was done to the Africans, it's just astounding to me. And anyway,
probably a lot of that had to do with the climate too. You know, like if you're from a Slavic country, you're not used to that southern heat.
Oh.
And African
well,
would be more suited to that.
Well, they actually, there were not a lot of them. There were just, but there were a few. And just so everybody knows, we've actually gone past 10 o'clock. We're
all
still
right.
We're still being recorded, but it'll play in the archive, but we're not on the air anymore. So if you're listening on your computers, you're not going to hear it.
All right. Well, thank you, Norman, for a great show.
Well, hey,
and,
thank you all for calling. This was a great experience.
My pleasure.
And you know, we'll be on next week, and 5:08, we'll be in touch some more, and who knows, maybe we can even work on some media for you.
Well,
we can
good.
Talk about that. And it was a great time. I hope maybe they're listening in Alaska.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to hang up here because I do
all
have
right.
to get up early in the morning. Cole, 205, it was glad to hear from everybody. And I really enjoyed tonight. And before everybody goes, why can't I find it? I always have to play a little of it. Hold on, hold on. That's not it. Oh, here it is.
It's a cacophony.
Why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring?
Well, have a good night, Norman.
Good night, Norman.
Good night. I'm going to let this play as you hang up.
Okay, I'll be talking to you, Norm.
All right, G.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Give me a ring. I'm getting
we'll
the idea.
See you,
I'm
way.
Sitting in the clear, cause no one wants me near. How strange that everyone
you
I spoke thought I was telling them a joke. Cause all their phone does in the end is clearly
so the show
drive
me,
them around the bend.
Step
but
upward,
I dare
step
not
me.
Pass my door for fear that if I do,
no, I
sure,
this
some person will show sympathy and try to send a call to me. But why does
no one call?
Why can't somebody just
give me a ring?
This stupid telephone silent like a stone, and I feel all
alone.
Why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? I'm getting the idea. I'm sitting in the clear. Cause no one wants
me near.
Maybe people think I'm somewhere wandering. Go to Tokyo or rather farther. But why does no one call?
So what should we use for a topic next
why
week?
Why can't somebody just give me a ring? I even try to be much more than usually and pay
AT&T. Since I'm hot for the topic anyway, the demise of the American city and neighborhoods, all that sort of thing.
Hey, now that's an interesting idea.
That gets people roused up. Gets me roused up. You know, even in my own area. You know, I'm in this little cul-de-sac here, and at one time I knew everybody, but now I don't know everybody, you know. Because now we have renters.
Do you make any attempt to know them?
Oh, absolutely. You know, but you know, it is interesting. It's like, you know, people, they shelter themselves. I mean, we have these big high fences all around everybody's backyard. Privacy fence, which I like.
Right.
But on the other hand, I know everybody, but it's not as close as like 10 years ago when I really knew everybody, you know, when everybody was new and you know, the kids were being born, and now...
So how long have you lived there?
97. And,
that's
and you know,
12 years.
And there's another... Yeah, well, there's another thing, too. It's like, you know, in the old days when, you know, because I have all these fruit trees and all that, I used to let the kids just come in the backyard and pick fruit and do whatever they want. And now you don't do that. You don't do that anymore.
No, now if you did that, they'd arrest you.
Well, especially me sitting, you know, living here, and they're like, you can't go back there with that crazy old man. Well, shit, I've known these kids since they were born. I mean, I'm not offended by the crazy old man, because that's, you know, that's been my life's achievement here, you know, but, geez, you know. So, it's like, oh, well, your parents have to be with you to come back and pick plums or
apples
or whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm like,
well,
you know, so they, you know, it was, but I mean, in a way, it's very, it's insulting. I, you know, and it's also unfortunate for the kids, because the kids don't get to do things that we
used to do.
Right,
they don't get to climb the tree, right, exactly.
All the whole thing, you know, and at the same time, it's like, oh, he might be Chester the Molester.
A pervert.
I was like,
right.
Oh, well, geez.
Anyway.
I've had 12 years on you and it hasn't happened, okay?
anyway, I'm going to hang up here and I'll talk to you soon. That was great tonight. And
oh,
we'll
yeah,
see
very,
you next
good
week.
Good conversation.
Yes,
okay,
so we're
man,
going
take care.
To. I will. And we'll
we're
do
gonna...
the neighborhood thing. I like that. I'm going to build
right.
up to it all week.
Okay, well, put it in a description, and
I will.
You know, publicize
we'll,
it a little bit. Yeah,
I will. We'll see what happens. No, we got a bunch tonight too, so that was great fun. I'm just sad my cousin didn't call because he sent me an email that said he might. All right. Well,
know,
anyway, go ahead.
Go ahead.
no,
I you know what? Well, what I think we're talking about is true for practically every city in America. You know, there was security, or let's call it an anchor, you know, to your old neighborhood. And but you know, guys have been, let's face it, between Paul Simon and Bruce Springsteen and what's the other guy, Mellencamp, they've been singing about this for a long freaking time. And it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the songs that get to us, because we know what we miss and we know what we lost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's my speech.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care, man. Good night.
Norm is out.